For our meditation this evening before the communion service, shall we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we will read verses 16 through 21. First Corinthians, chapter 10, beginning with verse 16. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? What shall I say then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Father, we thank you this evening for this very special time in which we are gathered together to remember the death of our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for lost and undone sinners. Father, this evening we confess that we are not worthy to come to such a table as this, and yet we praise you that through the merits of the shed blood of Christ and that abundant forgiveness that is in his name, and that blessed newness of life communicated by the Spirit of God as we call upon him, as you have promised, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And by your grace we have been delivered from our transgressions through faith in him, and come in his name to this table, wherein we desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so we pray that during this time you would draw our hearts to you. We pray that you would protect our minds from all distractions. Grant that our hearts might be able to center upon our Savior and worship and praise as he is worthy. We pray, Father, that you would cause your word to prepare our hearts to be able to draw near to you, to receive all of the blessing that you have intended should be ours through the very special time that you have provided, that we are about now to enter. And so we trust that you would calm our spirits, open our hearts to receive that which you have for us, that we might in turn then be able to worship you and love you with our whole heart, whole mind, our whole soul. For you are worthy, and we pray in the name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, dealing specifically here with idolatry, and yet at the same time he is setting forth some very important aspects regarding the table of the Lord that we'd like to look at to direct our thoughts and to enable us to draw nigh to his table, recognizing the many special purposes that he has for us as we draw nigh. This is the first Sunday of the month, and so we say, first Sunday of the month, that's Communion Sunday. And so we celebrate the communion service. But the question is, are we merely celebrating the communion service because it happens to be Communion Sunday? Or do we recognize that as we come together, we have very specific and special purposes to accomplish for which we have been given the communion service? What are some of these things that ought to be upon our hearts as we gather together around the table of the Lord? I think the first would be the importance of praise. The communion service has as its purpose that it be for us a means of expression of praise and thanksgiving to God. In verse 16, Paul says, "The cup of blessing which we bless." Very specifically, the word there means to speak well, a compound word. Good words would be a very literal translation. And by the cup, God speaks good words to us. It is a cup of blessing. And through this cup, God speaks good words to us. And we could quote many of them. 1 John 1:7. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's a good word. And that word comes to us through the cup, representing the shed blood of the Lord Jesus. And that the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. The good word that Jesus spoke as He instituted the communion service, "This is my body which is broken for you," as He came into the world. It was promised of the angels, and He Himself stated, "Lo, a body hast thou prepared for me." And as He came into the world, the angels cried out, "Peace on earth, goodwill toward men." These are good words that He has for us through the cup of His shed blood. And so through the cup, God speaks good words to us. It is indeed a cup of blessing. And the cup of blessing, Paul says, is that which we bless. And so we have good words also for this cup of blessing and for this provision that He has made for us. And so we at the communion service speak good words to God as we give thanks for the bread and for the cup. The Lord Jesus, as He took the bread and broke it, He gave thanks. And as He took the cup, He gave thanks. And we also, as we are gathered together, give thanks to God for His provision for us, represented by the table of the Lord. And so we bless Him for this provision of His Son. And through His Son. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name." And so we praise Him for the body and blood of our Savior. Now, praise is the most meaningful when it is spontaneous. As you leave for work in the morning, you kiss your wife goodbye. As you come home at night from work, you kiss her because you've gotten home. And that's fine. That's great. That's the way it should be. But some other occasion, some other moment when it's not necessarily expected, as you give her a hug and a kiss, she might look at you and say, "What is this for?" In other words, what motives do you have now? Or what do you want? Or because it's something spontaneous, when she finds out you really don't have some special thing you just want to express love, that spontaneous expression then has extra meaning. And so also, in the communion service, we desire that not only we express praise and thanksgiving to God, but that it be very meaningful a very meaningful expression of praise and thanksgiving. And for that reason, we have been encouraging you to allow it to be spontaneous. We've encouraged you in these past months to feel free to lead out in a chorus or a hymn that you would enjoy singing at that moment. Your heart wells up with praise to God. A hymn or a chorus comes to your mind that expresses that praise to God, and you want to sing that, and we want to give you the opportunity of singing that, and we want to sing it with you as a spontaneous expression of praise to God. And it doesn't just have to be song. We've mentioned if you're not confident leading out in song, just state the name of it and somebody will help you to lead out in that song. But it doesn't even have to be only song. It can be prayer. And as we are in the midst of the communion service, and maybe you don't have a song you'd like to sing, but you would just like to lead in prayer, we would encourage you just to lead out in spontaneous expression of love and praise to God in prayer. And we will join with you in our hearts as you express the joy of your heart. Because spontaneous praise and love is special. And that's what we want you to feel free to express during the communion service. The purpose, one of the purposes of the communion service, is the expression of praise and thanksgiving to God. And the most beautiful praise and thanksgiving is spontaneous. And so we would encourage you to do that. And then secondly, another purpose of the table of the Lord would be the expression of oneness with believers. Verses 17 and 18, "For we, being many, are one bread, one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." Now, notice Paul says here that we are one bread and one body. Being many, we are one. And so, we being many, through partaking of this one bread who is the Lord Jesus, we become also one bread, being many. And so, the issue here is not that we must partake of one huge loaf, or that it not necessarily be broken prior to the service, because we are many. The oneness, then, is not in form. We don't appear outwardly to be one, but we are one, partaking of that one bread. And so we are many. We are many, and so our oneness is not in form, but in essence. And so Paul does not say here that we are one loaf, but he does say we are one bread. We are not one loaf, for we are many, but we are one bread, for we all partake of that one bread, that true bread that descended from heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we partake of his body. And so verse 17, we being many are one bread and one body. And the same with the cup. Our oneness is not the cup. Our oneness is the contents. For we all drink of that same fruit of the vine, representing that same blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we, although we are many, at the same time, we become one in that common food of which we partake, that representing the Lord Jesus Christ, and that common spiritual food that we partake, which is the Lord Jesus, his body and his blood. And so then we feed on the broken body of the Lord Jesus with broken hearts that then bind us together, and we become one bread in the Lord Jesus. And so there is a local oneness of the local body of believers that is They are therefore knit together in love, as well as there is a universal oneness of the saints with the believers all around the world that then form not one loaf, but one body, the body of the Lord Jesus, the spiritual body, which is His church. And so being many, then we are one bread, one body over which the Lord Jesus is the head. And so the oneness of the believers is stressed in the communion service. And this is a spiritual oneness, and Paul stresses this again in verse 18. Behold, Israel after the flesh. In other words, there is an Israel after the flesh. There is a fleshly Israel, and there is a spiritual Israel. And Paul here is using the fleshly Israel as an example, as an illustration. Israel after the flesh always was a mixed multitude. And Paul refers to that also in Romans chapter 9 and verses 6 through 8. Paul says, not as though the word of God hath taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Neither, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted for the seed. And so this fellowship of the saints, this fellowship between believers in the table of the Lord is a spiritual oneness. The only oneness then is of the Spirit. And it is only Israel after the Spirit that has true oneness. And so, as a result, we have no more oneness with an unregenerate Jew than we do with an unregenerate Gentile, because the oneness is after the Spirit. And they that are of faith are the children of Abraham. And so there is this oneness of those who are of the faith of Abraham, of those who have believed God, and to them it has been counted for righteousness, whether they be of physically of the Jews or of the Gentiles. And so as we gather around the table of the Lord and enjoy the oneness of being one bread, it is a spiritual oneness. The table of the Lord then is a time of expressing the oneness of those who are in Jesus Christ. This is not a form of oneness, and so it's not a matter of one cup and one loaf, but it is a spirit of oneness because we have one body and one blood. Then thirdly, the table of the Lord is an expression of fellowship with Jesus Christ. Verses 19 through 21, Paul stresses the fact that there are different kinds of spiritual fellowship. As he states in verse 19, what shall I say then, that the idol is anything, that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. In other words, there is the possibility of people having fellowship with devils. And we have here very clearly two cups and two tables, the table of the Lord and the table of the devil, and the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devil. And those who eat at the devil's table have fellowship with the devil. And so the table is only the means of fellowship. And so it is with the table of the Lord. The Lord's table is not merely a ritual. The Lord's table, on the contrary, is a fellowship. It's a fellowship with the Lord Himself. And Paul says in verse 21, ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. And so there is a fellowship. Now, that's why we prefer to call the Lord's table an ordinance and not a sacrament. The word ordinance means something that is commanded. And the Lord Jesus commanded this. He said, "This do in remembrance of me." And so we call this an ordinance because it is something that we have been commanded to do. There are some, historically and some today, yet who call it a sacrament. And perhaps originally, that would have been all right. Sacrament basically means something that is sacred, and that would be all right. But through the passing of time, the idea of sacrament has taken on more the concept of sacramentalism. The idea being that there are in the elements themselves a direct spiritual power to confer grace upon the recipient. In other words, sacramentalism says that you get something from the bread. And so we prefer not to call it a sacrament because we do not believe you get something from the bread. Now, if that were so, and amongst those who claim that that is so, then whoever takes the bread gets the grace. And if that is so, then the table of the Lord must be carefully watched and controlled, lest someone take of the grace of God unworthily. But this is not what we find in Scripture. We find in Scripture that those who partake unworthily of the table of the Lord do not get grace. They get condemnation. In the next chapter of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11 and verse 29, Paul says, "For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And so it isn't a matter that everybody, regardless of their spiritual condition, receives some kind of grace from God as he partakes of the bread and of the cup. In no way. These are not sacraments. These are elements. And it is an ordinance. And there is no grace residing in the elements. And for that reason, Scripture tells us that God polices his own table, and God judges the offenders. And those who partake of the elements receive grace in their spirits if they are in fellowship with Christ. And those who partake not in fellowship with Christ receive condemnation for the audacity of partaking of something so sacred without the breaking up first of their own hearts before God. And so it is God who polices his table. It is God who judges those who partake wrongly without considering that this indeed is a means of reminding us of his shed blood and his broken body. And so there is nothing in the bread itself, nor in the cup itself. The issue is in the heart of the one who comes. The bread and the cup merely represent the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. And the purpose of coming is to have fellowship with him. And those who eat of the bread or partake of the blood, who spirit is not in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, they partake to their own condemnation before God. The purpose of the table is fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we are gathered together this evening for many purposes. And we need to review these purposes to make sure that they are accomplished as we are gathered together. We're gathered together for fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the elements are merely a means to help us into that fellowship, a means that he has commanded. And so we come to celebrate this ordinance. We're gathered together for oneness, to express oneness with other believers. The oneness of the Spirit between those who are one in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, we come to express praise and thanksgiving to God for all of His blessings, the cup of blessing we bless. And so this evening we would gather together at the table of the Lord, and we would invite all to partake who are in Christ. If you are in Jesus Christ, then this table is for you. You don't need to be a member of this church, but you do need to be a member of the body of Jesus Christ, a part of His spiritual body by faith in His shed blood and His broken body. And if you belong to Him, then you belong at the table of the Lord. And so we come to remember His death, and we would encourage you to partake if you are in Him, and we would warn you not to partake if you are not in Him, because it would be for your harm. Are you a new creature in Jesus Christ? If so, then His table is for you. And if not, then you must repent first. Repent of your sins. Receive Him as your Savior. Enter into Him by faith. And then as you belong to Him, you partake of His table. So before the time of the table of the Lord, we like to have a time of silent prayer, in which we are able to come before God and allow His Spirit to search our hearts. Search our hearts, are we in Christ? And then secondly, search our hearts, is there anything that's displeasing to Him? If you are in Christ, then anything that you might be doing that's displeasing to Him, the desire of your heart is that be done away with, that be taken care of. And so we want to have a time of heart searching before we partake of the table of the Lord, so that God's Spirit would be able to point out to us things that He would have changed in our lives, things that He would have corrected. And we can turn those things over to Him and prepare our hearts for a total openness before Him to be able to partake of this fellowship with Himself through His table. And so as we come, we want to begin with a time of silent prayer, and then we would encourage you to spontaneously express your praise and thanksgiving and love to God as together we seek His face during this communion service.